Please stand by.
It's the weekend of April 30th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
I'm Kat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Kat, episode number 11.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Excellent, excellent. We had our website went up by 2.5 times with a mention of our song on the Adam Curry Daily Source Code. Can you believe that? I cannot believe how much power that guy has.
Well, you know, I really worked hard on those lyrics.
Yes, you did, didn't you?
The truth is, I didn't do anything about that song. It's all your work, Jeff.
Well, you know, that's what I do. I get them into the podcast through songs like that, and then you keep them here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We hope you keep you here. So I think we've got a lot of new listeners to the show this time around. So you better, Pat,
break out the panties.
Yeah, you better break out the panties fast, because we need something, man.
Well, I went to Victoria's Secret and bought a bunch of panties this week, so.
Did you really?
Just kidding.
Did you bring any?
No. Anyway, so did you do anything last night?
Did I do anything last night? I did nothing last night. But I did have a chance to take a listen to the brand new podcast out there by Paris Hilton.
Oh, my God. Yes, I saw that. How was it?
It was crappy. I mean, and actually, the only reason I listened to it is because I felt pressured by the gang at Podcast Alley, because they were talking a lot about it. My inclination, though, was it's a preview for a movie. It's an advertisement for a movie.
How long was it?
Like 5 minutes or something. It was hardly anything. It was about her at like the David Letterman show.
Does she do talking?
Yeah, she talks.
Just by herself or what?
Yeah, just by herself, pretty much. And she doesn't seem all that engaging or excited about it. But the thing is, it's like a podcast for a movie.
Yeah.
It's just not that compelling. I won't listen to it again, but it's advertising. What's advertising and what's not?
I guess to some extent I have two thoughts about that. One is, I think it's annoying that somebody like her would be encroaching upon this new territory. She's got her own way to express herself. Just stay away.
I know.
And then, you know, I guess maybe it also reminds me of the commercialization, that there are some podcasts, and this is just my opinion, but those podcasts that sit there and say, oh, donate, you know, sponsor us and everything, I'm not going to be happy when podcasts have sponsors and that we have to listen to commercials during podcasts. I don't like commercials. That's why I listen to public radio.
I think a lot of people feel that way. And I think some of the big guys will go that route, and there'll be always a lot of us here on the long tail that will be, you know, I don't want your money. Don't send it. Don't send us money. We don't need it. We're not doing it for money. But I will tell you, this is like the NPR thing, Pat. If you like what we're doing, this is the beginning of the month. And you know what that means, Pat?
That means voting for us on Podcast Alley.
If you do anything, don't give us money. We don't need your stinking money. I know you keep sending it. Kidding about that. No, but do us a favor and vote for us on Podcast Alley if you like us. And you know what? While you're there, vote for some of the others that you like as well.
Yeah, I vote for lots of other podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's good for the community to do that.
In fact, I want to mention some podcasts that I listen to.
Sure.
Briefly. I listen to Yeast Radio.
Okay.
I liked it.
Great.
I listened to one show, and I think what I liked about Yeast Radio, because the host is, I'm pretty sure he's a man, but he keeps acting like he's a lesbian.
Right. That's the shtick, yeah.
Okay. I found it irreverent and funny. I liked it a lot.
I need to re-listen. I listened to a couple of his shows, I want to say a couple of months ago, and he was kind of walking along Miami. It was an outdoor cast, and it just wasn't very good at all.
Oh.
And so I've never come back, which is a real mistake. If you hear a bad podcast, you should always give it another chance, you know?
The other podcast I listened to was the Delta Park Project. The hosts are Jason and Anna, and it's a really fun show. They have some interesting bits, and they seem like really likable people.
Okay.
You need to listen to it if you haven't, Jeff.
No, I have not listened to it yet, but I will.
Anyway, that's enough for me.
Sounds good. I wanted to also, you know, towards the whole Paris Hilton and commercialization aspect of things, I wanted to talk about the news lately, and I hope I don't come across as sounding too awful, but I am tired of the exploitation of missing people. people and and the celebrity trials and even the missing children. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the Amber Alert. I'm all for public awareness. And I'm all for maximum penalty for people that kidnap kids and kill kids and rape kids. It's awful stuff. But it feels like the CNN and the Foxes of the world just exploit this stuff.
I'm pretty sure, though, Jeff, there was some woman in Georgia who disappeared.
Yes.
It turns out that she disappeared because she wanted to.
She was
trying to avoid getting married, or is that what it was?
She had some sort of breakdown, and she got and right. And my and that's a good example of my point. It's like, why was she the headlines on CNN.com and Fox.com? The headlines. I did a little bit of research, and in Dallas, the city that we live in, there are 240 murders a day.
Wow.
No, sorry, 240 murders a year.
Uh-huh.
It's about 1.5 murders in this town. A murder for every 1.5 days. This one woman, because, she wasn't even murdered, I mean, thank goodness, gets headlines in the national news, probably international news, for 2 or 3 days, and I can't figure it out. Is it because she was pretty?
I don't know. Was she? Could be.
Yeah, she was pretty.
Ah.
So basically, if you get murdered, you need to be good looking or else
nobody cares. Well, you know, they've done lots of studies about how attractiveness helps a lot of things. Attractive people make more money.
Yeah, even when they get murdered.
Tall men get more money, even when they get dork.
Well, it's just an outrage. I'm sick, and all the little kids, they interview the parents. Oh, weep, 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 we're sad. And it sounds insensitive. I don't mean to be insensitive. Like I'm saying, I completely agree with the Amber Alert, but do we need a 2-hour show on the parents talking about the kids? We don't need it. It's exploitation.
I have a feeling, Jeff, that a lot of people would agree with you. I agree with you,
really?
Too. I skip those segments now. I tape the Today Show. I mm-hmm. always skip those segments now.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't have empathy. It's
right.
just that at a certain point, I just don't care about that element any longer.
Right, right.
It happens.
I'm with you.
Well, you know, I was looking at the New York Times today, and there was a quote that I saw that kind of made me go, huh. It was said by a woman who was forced to marry her husband in a common and often violent wedding rite in Kyrgyzstan. She said, I told him I didn't want to date anyone, so he decided to kidnap me the next day. So it's very, very common in Kyrgyzstan that people, men, forced women to marry them. And this I
wow.
found was incredible. They do this kidnapping or snatching because it's easier than courtship and cheaper than paying the standard bride price, which can be as much as $800 and a cow.
So it's a very practical solution because you don't want to give up your cow. I mean, that's a lot.
Well, I just started thinking, you know, I thought about you, Jeff, and remember how you went out with that chick and you said you paid $200 to go out with her?
Right.
Well, you don't have to do that anymore. You can just kidnap her.
Right. And I don't have to give up that $200, which is probably a cow, you know.
And, you know, it's a lot easier than courtship.
I like it.
Now,
there's Kyrgyzstan. Where is that?
It's, well, one of those Russian. Well, Stan, I found this out listening to NPR. Stan means land. So Kyrgyzstan is one of those countries in the
right.
broken up Russia place.
Right.
And even in Kyrgyzstan, this kidnapping of wives is technically illegal, but the law is rarely enforced. So people do it.
So it's, yeah.
And it's sort of sad. I was thinking to myself, you know, it's probably a whole lot better to be in my crappy situation, which is, you know, sorry that I'm not married. It's better to be that than to be kidnapped and be forced to be married to somebody.
But maybe if that would happen, maybe you would end up being happily married after 3 years of hating it.
Well, Brad Pitt can kidnap me. I'd be happy with that. He can also, you know, tie my hands behind my back.
Well, then you get to the definition of what exactly is kidnapping. Is it kidnapping if you want to be kidnapped?
Yes, it is. So, Jeff, you know, I was listening to a couple of podcasts over the past couple of weeks.
No, not you. You never listen to podcasts.
And I think I heard at least two where the men who are probably about, you know, my age, maybe a little bit younger, use the word gal.
Right, right, right.
I hate that word.
What is so you mean some of the guys in the podcast, like with podcast partners,
yes,
they're calling their partners gals?
No,
or
No. So, for example, like this one person, he's talking and he said, so this gal comes in. And I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with that?
Okay.
Why would he say gal? Why doesn't he say woman, babe, chick?
Okay.
No, gal.
Right.
So anyway, I hate that. And I talked to a few of my friends, not you and Susan, but a couple of other my friends, to ask them how they felt about gal. And I don't know, I wasn't getting the support I wanted. So I started to think, I mean, I'll explain what I hate about it, but I started to think maybe I needed some, you know, people from the heartland to help me, you know, think about this issue.
From the heartland.
From the heartland.
But isn't Dallas in the heartland?
No.
I guess we're the South, huh?
And we
what are we anyway? Southwest? South?
Stop talking. We have some friends in the heartland.
Yes, we do.
Our friends in the heartland are Danny, Neil, and Lynn from Borderline Podcast.
BDline.net.
BDline, sorry.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
And we have them on the Skype line. How are you guys?
We're really good this morning.
have you been drinking yet?
Someone is now.
I am currently imbibing one ale.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love the ale.
Mm-hmm. Well, I listened to your show last week after you drank the drink I recommended, the Fourlan.
It was awesome.
Well, you know, I don't know if I told you this, Jeff, but, you know, I started listening to the BD Line podcast.
Right, right.
And what they do is kind of fun. They have a drink, and they talk about the drink, and they rate it.
Oh, I know.
Okay, so I guess you started making one drink, and you had to buy a big old bottle of Campari. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the punch one.
Oh, and Campari kind of sucks, doesn't it?
It's like bitter pickles and feet.
Yeah.
Yum. Especially in the morning, that sounds good.
It's really a popular thing in Italy. And, you know, when you walk around, you'll see cafes with these beautiful red and white umbrellas, and they're tilted, and they'll say Campari on the side. And you see people sitting there drinking Campari, and you're like, I want to be them. Until you drink the Campari.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a Campari drinking gal?
Oh, stop it.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, I think we got off track. So I hate the word gal. And I hate the word gal because I think it's anachronistic and I think it's sexist. I think that only men, you know, what's really happening is that men are bitter. They were bitter. I don't know that they are anymore. They were bitter about having to let women in the world of work. And when they let them in the world of work, they didn't want to call them women. So they called them gals. Because it's less intimidating.
Ah.
So that's why I hate the word gal. And I don't think gal is the equivalent, the female equivalent of guy or dude. Am I right or wrong here? You guys in the heartland, what do you think?
Okay, I have to make a little side note, and I don't mean to defer, but, you know, Neil hates the word heartland a lot.
Oh, my God, that's too funny.
You just offended our first podcast, cross-podcasters.
Well, you didn't offend me or Lynn, but...
if you want to, Danny really hates the word slacks.
I think I want to go shoot my head off right now.
No. I just thought it was ironic in the context of the conversation, because I can see me just, like, kind of wiggling in his chair.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. That's funny.
That's
sorry.
Okay.
You can school me in the proper term later.
Yeah. I love it. Lynn and I are really enjoying it.
It makes him tough.
That's right.
And bitter, so
yeah.
He'll be one of those people in the conference room.
He'll just start calling us gals.
Oh, God. I hate that word.
I kind of feel like gal is, you know, maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago in the conference room, businessmen would have said chick or babe, but
yep.
Now it's politically incorrect, and I feel like it's some sort of in-between word. It's not as formal as woman or lady.
Oh, I don't like lady either. Lady!
Yeah, it's kind of tricky because I think here in the heartland,
ooh.
I think that, you know, our grandmothers, I know my grandparents both use the word, and they'll say it in the course of telling an anecdote. She was such a nice gal.
Right.
You know, it's a little more endearing.
Well, I think that's perfectly fine when 70-year-old men say it, but not 40-year-old men or even 50-year-old men.
Now, I'll speak as a guy. I've said the word in the past. I don't think a lot, but I have sort of, in my mind, I've always thought it was the feminine of guy. You know?
Okay, let me ask you something, though, Jeff. Susan,
right.
Senior Vice President,
right.
You were sitting in a conference room. Do you think you'd ever say, well, so, you know, this gal, and you would refer to Susan?
No, but not because I would have associated as derogatory, only because I would have associated with casualness. So it's like I wouldn't call a senior vice president girl either, or heck, woman for that matter.
Wow.
But you know, I'm not sure. I think what I think is clear from a little bit of work I did on the internet, which is like blah blah blah, it seems like some people are offended by it. It clearly, you know.
I'm very offended.
Now, let me ask you this, Pat. Are you offended by it? Is it more in the business context, or is it more general?
More general. If I hear a man say gal, I sort of want to hit him and say, we're women. Call us women.
Yeah.
You know, girl, I think, if I might interrupt, I think that girl is even a whole other can of worms, because
yeah.
I'm away the youngest woman at my work in a professional capacity, and I get called girl a lot.
You're kidding. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, that's not good business, I wouldn't think.
Well, it's, you know, it's a small company, and sort of you kind of have to go with it, but even sometimes the older women, I don't know if it's a territory thing, I don't know if it's a way of putting me in check, but I get called girl, little girl, a lot.
But you're called by that by also the women, not only the men, the women?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Which I find more bothersome.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. Discrimination.
That kind of sounds like they are sort of trying to put you in a, you know, less experienced place or something like that.
I think it's a reminder that I'm not them. And
right.
And I don't have that same power level. I don't know.
Maybe a slow form of hazing.
They did make me kill that goat.
Yeah, well.
Did you have to do it with your bare hands?
Yeah.
Oh.
I did him on conference table.
Wow. All righty. Well, I don't know. I think I feel vindicated. They don't like the word gal either.
So, did we learn something?
I learned that I'm right, which is the most important thing.
What I'll take away from it is the fact that not everybody is offended by it, but some people are, and that means we should probably be careful with the word.
Ah, was that politically correct?
Was that politically correct?
I think you can tell the difference between someone respectfully using the word and someone.
Yeah.
Well, Neil, Danny, and Lynn, thank you for helping us debate this issue.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
And be on the lookout for the snow globe.
Woohoo!
I don't want to start a rumor, but we got you a little something today, too.
Uh-oh.
Well, all righty.
Does it rhyme with pornography?
I don't know if it rhymes with more than it is. But
the cast got together, did a little something.
Really? I can't wait. All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us on.
And thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And I'll send you an email with my address.
Awesome.
All right. All right.
Thanks again. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. I was listening to my friend Lance Anderson again, Verge of the Fringe, which is a podcast I love.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. And you know what? One thing I noticed that I like about Lance is...
Tell it, Jeff.
Tell it. He is always... He makes me happy. Let me explain that. He's just got a very positive vibe about him. Have you noticed that, or is it just
me?
No,
I've noticed that. He seems to be kind of a really nice person.
He, and he kind of exudes to me positiveness. And I'm kind of a positive person most of the time, but sometimes I'm not. And I was listening to my iPod, right? And mm-hmm. I had it on random shuffle, which is such a cool thing. And I made a couple things that I noticed. One was, I really like my record collection. And especially when it's on random selection, I heard this one song, Pat, and it was Leaving Las Vegas by Sheryl Crow. And I'm not going to come out and say it's just a wonderful song, but there is a story behind it. And I first heard the song on The Edge back when Dallas actually had an alternative station. Asked everybody I knew what the song was. Nobody knew. I went to this record store up on Mockingbird and Greenville, independently owned, people who know music. They didn't know what it was. It was so new. We took out a play that they found a playlist for this radio station. We kind of narrowed it down and figured it must have been this song. I bought the CD, just figured I'd take a gamble. That was Thursday Night Music Club, I think it's called, by Sheryl Crow, her first one. It was amazing. And it just, when I heard this song play from my iPod, my mood went from 0 to 100. It just felt so good. I felt like going around and kissing the world. I loved hearing that song again that I responded to so much, probably, 10 years ago or so. Have you ever had that experience with a song?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of songs that put me in a happy mood.
Yeah.
And they're the ones I like to have on my workout tape because I really don't want to be working out. But when I hear those songs, I just, you know.
Pumps you up a little bit.
Yes.
Gives you an extra.
And I'll play them really loud. I'm pretty much convinced that I'm going to go deaf soon because I
me
really
too.
Crank the volume up.
I do, too. Me, too. Me, too. I'm surprised I can still hear, you know. Did you say something?
Well, Jeff, as you know, I'm getting ready to make a change in my life.
Are you ready to talk about it?
No,
or?
I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's going to result in me having to drive a whole lot less, and that kind of makes me happy. But, you know, as I was looking at the newspaper and everything, and I'm sitting here complaining about having to pay $2.35 for gas, and it takes me $30 to fill up my car.
Right.
I was looking at some information about Norway. They pay $6.66 a gallon.
Sometimes people don't realize how cheap gas is here, especially when it's rising, right?
And the cost of that gas, 67% of it is in taxes.
Yeah.
I think in the United States it's about 20%. But I didn't know this about Norway. They are the third largest oil exporter behind Saudi Arabia and Russia.
I had no idea.
And they also consume much less oil per capita than Americans. They consume about 1.9 gallons a day versus our 3.
And one of the reasons is because, as you said, the oil price is more, I'm sure.
Well, normally in countries that have gas, that export gas, mm-hmm. it's a lot cheaper for those country people.
Okay.
And it's not the way in Norway. And they also do a lot of stuff to keep people from buying cars. I think that the average person keeps a car for, I don't know, it was either 16 or 19 years.
Well, you know, my dad, I think you know he's a big bike rider, right?
Yes.
Maintains trails around Illinois, writes books about the Illinois trails and everything. Kind of a big guy in the bicycling industry or the bicycling thing. He has always said, and at first I didn't understand it, but I do understand it now. He's always said gas prices need to be actually a lot more in America because the way we build our communities, it's unbelievably rewarding to go to Europe and see how the communities are built around pathways and walking and biking. And in America, you know, we like to spread ourselves out because gas is so cheap.
Exactly. That's true. People want their 3 acres in the middle of nowhere
right.
so that they don't have neighbors.
Right.
I don't know why that is, because when I think about what would make me happier, I always think about being more of a community and how it would be, you know, I think of, what was that show that they had where that guy was in Alaska? And there was a woman who was a pilot and he was a doctor.
Was that Northern Exposure?
Yes, Northern
maybe?
Exposure. Okay. You know, I think about, to me, it seems so idyllic to be in a
yeah.
town like that.
Yeah.
With, you know, there's a bunch of goofballs and everything. Maybe the bad part would be that everybody be in your business.
Yeah, right, right.
So,
and you remember the guy who did the broadcasting? We could be them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I loved him. I thought he was hot.
He was later in Sex and the City.
Oh, with, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think also about the gas stuff, what they do is the Norwegians are actually concerned about global warming and other environmental issues. So they kind of want their gas prices to be high because of that. In fact, a car, I think a Land Cruiser or whatever, when, you know, a car you can get in the United States for $60,000 would be is $100,000 there. Now, I think their average salary, you know, where it might be like $23,000 in the United States, it's $51,000.
Oh, really?
There. Yes, it's pretty high.
So everything is a little bit inflated there.
So, you know, even at that, a $100,000 car is a lot of moolah.
Yeah, let's move to Norway.
Let's move to Norway. And what did our president say should be an important...
We have an energy plan now, Pat.
Well, what did he say we should do on Thursday? That one of our key things should be to get cheaper gas.
Exactly.
That's what we want to do in America.
That's what we want to do in America. The thing is, and I think Bill Maher has talked about this a number of times, we have the technology to make cars that run on, that are a lot more fuel efficient using electricity and so forth, but nobody is incentivized to bring it out. We could do something. Somebody actually in a news group that I was reading, it may have even been Podcast Alley or some other political news group, said, you know, we should, gas oil is a, you know, limited quantity thing. We should save it and use it for things that actually need it. Automobiles don't really need it. We have alternative technologies to use it. Let's have an energy plan that incorporates that. Let's stop using this oil needlessly, you know? It's crazy.
I don't know. It seems like one of those things where when people will do something is almost when it's too late.
And I think that's exactly the way it's going to work out for a while. When somebody says, you know what, guys, 20 years from now, that's it. That's when we're going to start making it happen. That's sad.
I think 20 years from now, that's it. I think it's going to be 2 years from now. That's when they'll do it.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
But speaking of cars, I saw something else on the news that I thought it just made me laugh so hard. There's some guy in Germany who has a car that was owned by the new Pope, and he's got it on sale on eBay. It's a 1999 Volkswagen Golf. What a great car! It opened up at like $13,000. After 300 bids, it was at $1.3 million.
Wow! Just because it was owned by the Pope.
Exactly. And and they authenticated that it was owned by the Pope.
I guess it's pretty cool if you can say you're driving around in the old Pope's car.
In the Pope-mobile.
The Pope-mobile.
Well, so I started to think, what kinds of things could we have that, you know, we could claim were the Pope had something to do with and we could sell on eBay? Can you think of anything?
The Pope's...
panties.
What would be a good thing that he could sell? I mean, I'm sure he was, you know, pretty much of a normal guy before he became Pope, so he's got lots of stuff. I'm sure he could have a Pope garage sale. that would be pretty cool.
I think the Catholic Church should have a Pope garage sale. They could make lots of money.
They could make lots of loot, man.
And then they could, you know, they could give it to the poor.
They could give it to the poor or give it to the poor podcasters. No, wait, I said we don't want your stinking money. Quit sending it.
No money. Anyway, I thought that was just a riot.
That is a riot.
And, you know, then there was the story about the this guy that I guess a bunch of people had this idea of before the Pope was named, they went out there and they registered a bunch of websites. Did you hear about this?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, my God, Jeff. This guy registered Benedict's, what is he, the 17th, 16th or the 17th, 16th.com. He registered it. And, you know, because he basically went out and did some research and saw that in the last, I don't know if it was 500 years, that these were the 8 names that popes chose.
Got it.
So he went out there, tried to register them, and some of them had already been registered by somebody else.
Right.
So he just got lucky.
Right.
And it was funny because he was on the Today Show, and he said that he was willing to give the website over to the Vatican, but he had some demands.
No talk about religion. At least one pair of boobs showing on the site at all times.
His demands were very sweet. There was like he wanted... 3 days and two nights in this papal suite. Not papal suite, but, at, you know, some fancy at the Vatican place. And then there was something else. I can't remember what it was. It was very, very sweet, but...
That's nice.
I would have asked for a guarantee of getting into heaven.
Hey, you know, when you got the guy that's talking to the big man...
Exactly.
Not bad. Why not ask for, I don't know, eternal life? You know?
Eternal salvation.
Oh, that's what I was looking for. Eternal salvation.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV?
Hey, you know, earlier today I was in Target.
Target.
Yeah. And let me tell you, Jeff, we just weren't born at the right time. There's so much fun candy out there now. And, you know...
Oh, I still love fun candy.
I remember when my sister and I, when I was growing up, my sister, who is a little less than 2 years younger than I am, and my brother, I think, is 5 years younger than we are.
Right.
We used to give my little brother money, or actually, no, we didn't give him money. We would give him money, yes, to ride down to the 7-Eleven and buy candy for us. The 7-Eleven wasn't even half a mile away. I don't know what kind of lazy-ass children we were. And then we'd give him some M&Ms. That was his cut, was to get the M&Ms.
When I was growing up, we had two candy stores that were two blocks on either side of us. I mean, it was a kid's heaven. You'd just go in and you have all this penny candy. We used to love it. It used to be incredible.
But... when I was at Target, what they have is these packs of M&Ms now, and they're the Star Wars M&Ms, there's the dark chocolate M&Ms, and the milk chocolate M&Ms. So there's the dark side and the light side. The light chocolate ones are kind of pinky colors and pastel colors, and the dark ones are more vibrant ones. And I thought, I'm sure they taste exactly the same, but I'm like, I wanted them. I just wanted them so bad. And I thought, I don't want the ordinary colored M&Ms anymore. And
they're
I'm
boring.
An adult.
Who wants ordinary ones? Well, this goes with, can I just interject here? This goes with another theme that I've been thinking about this week, and it goes with the whole Lance Anderson thing I was talking about before. I am thrilled and happy to be living in this country at this time because we have everything that we could possibly want so close in all these stores. I mean, we're really lucky people and we should be happy all the time.
Well, we're lucky. I mean, now they have cookies out there that are in the taste of various candy bars. So I had some Almond Joy cookies.
That's too funny.
And they were so good.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like it's a good thing I have some measure of self-discipline, not in everything in my life, but in some measures of my life. But, I mean, I just had them once, and I did say to myself, I'm going to have to never have these again because they are so good. If I start eating them, I'm going to eat them all the time, and I'm going to become addicted to them, and I'm going to gain, you know, 400 pounds.
See, that's my problem, you know, with the ice cream little calamity we have, which I still owe you a pint of ice cream. But, that's my problem, is if people bring over cookies or things, I will eat them all, and I'll eat them all in one night, and I just, but I don't need them, you know? If they're not in the house, I won't eat them, but they're addictive, and I think, you know, they must make that carbohydrate addictive on purpose, just like the cigarette companies do.
Well, you know, they came out, they said, I think it was last week, that they did some study, it was in the Journal of American Medical Association, where they said that if you're being obese, or not obese, but being kind of fat, isn't detrimental to mortality. But now here's the key thing. It may not be detrimental to mortality. You may not die sooner, but you probably do have a pile of years that you're more miserable because you're dealing with health issues.
Very good point.
So, you know, somebody like your mom who's thin and somebody else's mom who was fat, they may die at the same age, but your mom is still active.
Exactly. I think you make a very, very good point. That probably wasn't put out in the research at all, right?
I don't know if it was or not, but... I did kind of think, why is anybody suggesting the being overweight? It can't be but bad.
On the Bill Maher show that I was watching last night, he always does a bit at the very, very front, like a produced bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in this bit, there's this fat, tubby guy saying, I used to be thin and in shape. And then they show this picture of this real hunk, you know, and great shape and everything. And it's like, until I started taking MetaFat, or was, you know, I used to be, I could just eat and eat. It wouldn't do anything. But with MetaFat, I'm getting healthy and fat. It's pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
So we should get some MetaFat in here.
Well, you know, and then this is something that I think, I kind of feel bad about this, but it's how I feel. I did watch this Oprah show, and in the Oprah show, there was this guy who was married to this woman, and he, you know, they'd been married for 10 years, and she was now weighing 225 pounds, which they said was about 55 pounds more than what she weighed when they got married, and he wasn't very happy with her because she was fat.
Right.
They'd been married 10 years. They had, let's say, two kids or something like that.
Right.
I thought about how wouldn't most women really want to know that their husband loved him no matter what?
Absolutely.
But
that doesn't mean a guy can't have a preference. It's like, you know, I love you no matter what, but I find you sexier when you're 50 pounds less.
Yes.
Is that fair or not?
Well, I think that is fair, but evidently this was definitely an issue between them.
Got it.
And, you know, if he truly loved you, you know, he might say to you, you know, you really should be concerned about your health.
Right.
And
right.
Then when you say, I'm trying, then he gets off your back and you don't really hear too much about it. But I don't, you know, I don't think I would be happy married to a fat man.
Yeah.
And it would just be that simple that eventually I wouldn't be turned on by him.
Right.
And
right. And that is, whether you consider it shallow or not, it's bad for the marriage if you're not sexually attracted to your partner. You know, I know you never are as much as you are at the beginning, right? But still, something's got to be there, right?
Something's got to be there, yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, I did sort of, at first I wanted to not like the guy because he seemed like such a jerk. And
right.
Then, you know, I did take a flashback into my own thoughts and I was like, I'm sure I wouldn't be any different. I'm sure I would think I had a great husband, that he was capable and interesting, and there would be lots of things I would love about him, but I probably wouldn't want to have sex with him.
Right.
Not a big old
right.
fat guy.
And in your case with the Oprah guy, that doesn't mean the guy couldn't have been a jerk. He could be a jerk and still have those same thoughts, or it could be, you know, genuinely decent guy with those thoughts. I don't think the thoughts alone really probably,
well, that's
you
true.
Know, make you bad. It's time once again for the Dallas Minute. Pat, what do you got for us today?
Well, I remember when my grandmother turned 80, and I was actually visiting her in Viano in Italy, and I went down to a flower store there and got a bunch of flowers for her. And you walk to the store, you pick out the flowers, they wrap them up, and they put bows on them, and it looks just fabulous. You come home with this big bouquet.
Beautiful.
That looks great. And, you know, here in the United States, when you send flowers, what do you get? FTD, these, like, goofy-looking bouquets.
Yeah.
Well, in Dallas, there is a place you can go to. There's actually more than one place, but I have decided this is my favorite place to get some beautiful flowers
cool.
that are interesting and always attractively packaged, and that's at Dr. Delphinium's on Lover's Lane.
Heard good things about them.
I mean, you know, Jeff, a lot of the flowers that I've had at, like, my birthdays or Susan's or even for your birthday.
Are they always from Dr. Delphinium?
Always for Dr. Delphinium. I think
wow.
they are. They have beautiful fresh flowers arranged in fantabulous ways. So if you're ever looking for flowers, that's where you should go. And here's another clue. If a man comes and brings me flowers that come from 7-Eleven or the grocery store, I wear cotton panties. When they bring me flowers from Dr. Delphinium's, I bring out the Victoria's Secret thongs.
Wow.
So get the flowers that give you the results you want.
There you go. That sounds like a paid advertisement. Now, what kind of flowers does it take to get those legs apart?
Uh-huh. I'm not giving away
that.
All my secrets.
I don't blame
you.
There's got to be some secrets for later podcasts after
all. Tomorrow I have one of those It's Just Lunch dates.
Tomorrow you do?
Yes,
oh boy.
And it's with some guy who's older than me. And even though I sat there and said,
God, you've been over this.
Don't
over.
Want to go out with men older than me. This is the number I am. You just have to find men younger than that. No.
Here's the number less than. Why is that so hard?
I just want to, you know.
It's like they're refusing.
I really do want to say to them, is the problem with you is that you guys are just dumb?
Maybe they don't understand math. Maybe we need to talk more about math in this podcast, as we have before.
Well,
educate the masses on math.
Anyway, we got off the Dallas, my Dallas Minute. What about yours, Jeff?
Well, I wanted to talk about There is a just formed last month, a Dallas Podcasters meetup group.
Ooh.
And Pat, I sent you some stuff on it. I wanted to tell you about this group. We don't know too much about it yet, but there are 19 people signed up. Pat and I are going to try to go to their second meeting, which is like the third Thursday of every month. So I think next month is May 19th.
Okay.
So we'll try. But, I have no idea what goes on at these meetups. But if you listen to, sometimes they tape record the Orange County, California meetups. And they've got like sort of podcasting celebrities there. I mean, Michael Gohagan is there. Craig,
I don't know who he is.
Real Reviews. He's kind of a big guy doing a lot of producing, and his show is really good. Craig Patchett, who monitors the God Network and is just a great guy. And I think Lance has been there, and Dan Klass from The Bitterest Pill is always there. So you got like these heavyweights. Well, there's no heavyweights yet in the Dallas one. But there is, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but there's this guy that says, I'm building a podcasting management system. So if you want a podcasting management system, give me a call. Now, do you know what a podcasting management system?
That's the first thing I thought. What the hell is that?
That's what I thought. I thought, oh, wow, I don't know what that is. But the way he's describing it, it must be something. So I Googled it. Nothing. In fact, when I Googled it, you know what I got?
What?
I got his profile from the podcasters. Dallas Podcaster Meetup. So I thought that was funny. I mean, no disrespect. In fact, I'm looking forward to hearing what a podcasting management system is. It's just funny the way he introduced it, as it's like, this means something to somebody.
Well, you know what? There's a technical term for when you Google something and it brings up no references.
What is that called?
Google lacking.
Google lacking. Well, that was definitely Google lacking. There's also a...
Aw, this is going to make Jeff upset.
No,
it's kind of fun. Motorcycle went by.
No, actually, it's kind of fun. This is podcasting, folks. We do not have an airtight chamber here. And it's springtime, so people got the bikes out. There's another guy who's a co-founder of Audioblog that comes along. And Audioblog looks like kind of a neat company. I'm anxious to learn more about it. They're based in Dallas. They're one of... they're one of the early initiators, actually, of a kind of software that tries to be a turnkey piece of software in terms of making and producing and distributing podcasts. There's a lot of companies in the market, so it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say as well.
Well, I'm planning on going, and good. I'm going to bring dark and light-colored M&Ms and find out who's on the dark side, who's on the light side.
So I don't mean to diss the guys that are in it or diss the Dallas thing. We're excited about it. We think it's great. We've been talking about doing something in Dallas beforehand, and I don't know what to expect except maybe some discussion of people that are as passionate about it as we are, right?
That's right.
No expectations, but I think it'll be cool. So
there'll be candy.
And they'll be candy. All right, and that is your Dallas Minute. That's the show. Thanks, Pat. That's been a lot of fun.
Jeff, I've had fun, too.
If you want to give us a call, our number is 206-202-8255. If you want Pat to review candy, just send in your recommendations, and Pat will go on a... podcasting mission.
I will go on a sugar high.
Should go on a sugar high. Once again, please vote for us on Podcast Alley. We'll only ask you like once a month to do that. It really helps us get some exposure, so I don't want to say any more about it. I'm bored with it already. So thanks again for listening, and have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.